Have you ever wondered what foods will help your child thrive?
We're revealing the answer on today's episode of Wake Up With Hope.
Jesus 101 will also be with us to share a morning devotional, and the Let's Pray team will be here to pray with us.
Come along with us. Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with hope this morning. You know, it's October, and it's also National Internet Day.
We are so excited to be here, and did you know that today, being National Internet Day, we can remember some very interesting things. We could probably all agree that the internet has made an incredible impact in this world we live in. From being able to communicate with people across the world to having information at our fingertips, it is simply incredible. So take some time to appreciate it today.
In fact, many of our viewers wouldn't be watching Wake Up With Hope if it wasn't for the internet.
Very true.
You know, and today's also National Cat Day. That's right. You know, God has created so many beautiful animals and creatures and cats. They bring joy, comfort, and companionship, really, to millions of people, and they deserve to be celebrated.
Mm-hmm. So today, take a moment to appreciate the unique personalities, soft purrs, and playful antics of these incredible creatures. Whether you have a cat of your own or simply admire them from afar, National Cat Day is the perfect opportunity to show your love and care for these amazing animals. You can even use the internet as you celebrate National Internet Day to find out more about cats.
That's right. You know, and if you don't have a cat, or rather if you have a cat, don't forget to share a picture with us on our Facebook page. We would love to see cat pictures, wouldn't we? You know, we would really love to hear from you. So, best of all, we want you to experience God's love as you spend time with us this morning. So let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1998, nearly 40 years after becoming the first American to orbit the Earth, Senator John Herschel Glenn Jr. returned to space as a payload specialist aboard the Space Shuttle Discovery on October 29, 1998. At 77 years old, Glenn became the oldest person to ever travel to space. During the 9-day mission, he participated in a NASA study on health issues related to aging.
You know, just as John Glenn's journey back into space at the age of 77 broke barriers and opened new possibilities, life with Jesus offers us a new beginning, regardless of where we are in life. You know, Glenn's mission focused on exploring the effects of aging. But the message of Jesus is that no matter our past or present, we can always experience renewal and hope through Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." You know, just like Glenn's return is to space at an unexpected age with Jesus, there is no limit to what God can do in your life. No matter your age, background, or circumstances, Jesus invites us all to experience the fullness of life and the freedom that comes from walking with Jesus.
Amen. Friends, how can food affect your child? Well, foods to make your child a winner. That's our topic on today's episode of The Incredible Journey.
There's a lot of discussion today about the food we eat. There's foods that are good for us and benefit our bodies and brains, but there are also foods that are harmful and that we would be wise to avoid. So let's have a talk to Dr. Delia McCabe, a nutritional neuroscientist. She's done a lot of research into how the foods we eat impact our brain. Welcome, Delia. So are there really foods that harm our brains?
Absolutely. Refined foods full of damaged fats, full of refined sugar, full of too much salt, and full of additives and flavorants. All of those compounds damage the brain directly.
So these are highly processed foods?
Yes, they're factory foods. They come out of factories, they benefit the manufacturer, they do not benefit the health of our body or our brain at all.
So these are good superfoods for the brain, natural foods, plant-based foods, and the foods that harm us are the highly processed, highly refined foods that come in cardboard boxes and bags and crinkly paper and so forth.
You probably get more nutrients out of the cardboard than what's actually in the box. So those are to be avoided at all costs.
Please give us some examples of these toxic foods that harm our brains.
When you go to the center of any supermarket, Gary, you find highly colorful packets full of things like crisps, lollies, very, very flavorful with additives and preservatives, all to titillate our taste buds and make it seem like the food tastes better than it does. All of those compounds damage not just the body, but the very delicate and sensitive brain. We know that they affect how neurons develop and how neurons grow. So we want to avoid them at all costs. They're truly toxic to all of our cells.
So we're talking about soft drinks, fast foods, highly processed cereals.
Even worse, so-called healthy granola bars, full of sugar and damaged fat. Then we've got the so-called healthy drinks, full of refined sugar, and even the ones that don't have any sugar have got artificial sugar in them. So we're just adding insult to injury with all these toxins and all these so-called foods that aren't actually foods, they're just palatable compounds.
So Delia, we've got a choice to make. On the one hand, we've got all these fabulous superfoods, natural plant-based foods, or we've got these highly refined, highly processed, unnutritious foods competing for our attention, for our money, for our choice.
The challenge is, Gary, that when children start eating this food when they're really young, the highly refined foods, their taste buds want that kind of food. They need to be taught to like this beautiful, healthy food because it's not full of the crackle and the crunch and the highly refined sugars that give their taste buds that immediate boost. So we as parents really have to be responsible, and as adults we have to make the right decision, because ultimately we end up being sick and pathetic because we're not eating the foods that nature provides.
And what I really love about this is these foods, these superfoods, are the foods that God originally gave us. We are designed to be fueled by these natural plant-based superfoods.
If people just remember, as close to nature as possible is best for us. Avoid factory food, avoid the middle of the supermarket, avoid any packet that is crinkly and brightly colored. All toxic, not what our cells need.
Thanks for sharing this important information with us, Delia. This is information that can change our lives.
We hope you're finding our program worthwhile. Don't forget to share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our channel and keep up with us there.
When we return, we're going to pray with the Let's Pray team. Welcome back. We are being blessed today on Wake Up With Hope.
It's now time for one of our most favorite parts of our program, prayer. This morning, we invite you to take special hold of the privilege of talking to God as we join the Let's Pray team for special prayer.
Hello, it is that time again. It's time to pray together as a community. I do really enjoy these times that we get a chance to be together, and I pray it's a blessing for you as well. My name is Season, and I am the host of Hope Channel's Let's Pray. We're going to pray today about financial situations or problems, and here is our scripture for encouragement, Philippians 4:19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Family, oftentimes those glorious riches are the spiritual riches, the eternal values and the eternal glory. But do you know that Jesus cares about you right now? He cares about your physical world as well as your spiritual world. So we're going to pray for both of those things for us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for being who you are, Lord. What a joy it is to be in your presence with this community, Father. I pray that wherever this prayer finds someone, Jesus, that they will do exactly what I just did, to just take a breath. Especially, Father, if they're in the midst of financial concern. especially, Lord, if they are up against hard decisions and the enemy, this world, is trying to rain fear upon their lives because of the hardships or the financial concern that they're in right now. Lord, I'm familiar with that, but I know you are too, and you're the one who matters, Father. I thank you, Jesus, that you care about our right now, that you indeed take care of us, that you supply all of our needs from your glorious riches. You own, as they say, the cattle on a thousand hills. It's all yours anyway. You could dispense the riches and the spiritual treasures in any way you desire, Father. It's all yours, and we acknowledge that. Father, there are folks right now whom the enemy is trying to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But Father, you have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And Jesus, I believe that life starts now. So Lord, however this community or folks inside of it might find themselves in some sort of financial struggle, Father, where they're feeling poor in spirit and poor in finances, Heavenly Father, whatever circumstances they're in, I pray, Jesus, that you would intervene on their behalf. Lord, that you would make a way, as they say, where there is no way. And I don't want to be trite or cute with some of the verbiage that I use here, Lord. There are folks that are right in the middle of a deep struggle. So Jesus, in the middle of a mess we cannot seem to untie, I pray for your glory to be made manifest in their lives through your provision, through your sustaining, through a job, through a check in the mail. It's not out of the question. I've gotten one before, Jesus. Lord, we know that you can have your way in any way you choose. So my prayer is that not only would you do that, continue to be that, Father, but that the enemy would not be able to prevail upon your children in any way, and that no weapon formed against them would prosper, Jesus, meaning these schemes that he has, Father, I'm praying that they don't succeed, and that, Father, instead they would be turned back, that they would dissipate, that they would have no power to bring forth anything but your glory, Lord. I pray that in every way the enemy is trying to rob or destroy any of your children, their lives, or their families, Father, that his plans would actually, because of your sovereignty and high wisdom, Father, would actually bring about your glory. Father, thank you that you're not surprised by his schemes and that you are making a way where there is no way, Father. Thank you for loving us right in the midst of all of our concerns. And Jesus, I don't know if when it comes to finances, better stewardship needs to happen, which has been my story, Father, or Lord, if there truly is some sort of attack against them. I pray, Father, that your glory and your mercy and your wisdom would be poured out upon each of them according to their individual need, Father. We just trust you, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to redeem our financial situations in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you all as you move through the rest of your day. I pray that you're blessed.
Bye. Amen. We have a devotional message now from Jesus 101 coming right up after this break.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We are happy you're here today.
It's now time for a devotional thought. Jesus 101 is sharing with us this morning.
Hello, everyone. Today we continue with our series on the Gospel of Luke, and our title is You Are Accepted. Perhaps you remember when you were a little kid that we used to create this paper people chain. Chains. I did many of them when I was a little girl. And here I'm going to make one for you that I was starting before we started the program. It was so good to do these and then put them together and say, hey, they all like each other and they are holding hands and they are living in peace. I mean, we all as kids used to get, you know, such a kick out of this. And not just little girls, we used to make little boys too. And here I'm going to make a little boy for you. And it was so awesome to think that when we grew up, everybody was going to get along, that we were all going to like each other. Here I have some boys for you. And sometimes we said, even girls and boys can get along. Even black and white can get along. Even old and young can get along. Everybody can get along. And then we grew up and we found out that society didn't really work like that. There is a very known social psychologist called Henry Teifel. He's known for his work on the cognitive side of prejudice. And he found out that the us versus them is an actual verifiable human condition. That we all create little groups for any reason, even for the color of our eyes or our taste in art, that we say, no, it's us versus them. Of course, the color of the skin, the accent, many other things can obviously offer us opportunities to do the us versus them mentality. The Gospel of Luke has a message that God accepts us all and that he wants us all. And that, you know, Luke does something really interesting. He intercalates stories of men and women, you know, men and women. And he does Jews and Gentiles and those who were high status versus those who were low status. Because Jesus came to save all who would accept him. And so we're going to study how the gospel, the good news of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, gives dignity and freedom to everyone, even those that were considered outcasts and were not accepted in that society, and that the least, the last, and the lost were accepted by Christ. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 4. It's a very interesting story. It happens in Nazareth, and Nazareth was the town where Jesus grew up. And it didn't have a very good reputation. You know, we can see that in John 1 when Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a little town, and Jesus grew up there. And now, as a grown-up man, and now he was becoming famous, he came back to Nazareth, and he went to the synagogue where he had been many, many times as a child. You know, I had the opportunity to visit Nazareth, and they did a whole village of the way it would have looked at the time of Jesus. If you ever get to go to Nazareth, make sure you go to that village. It's very interesting, different parts of the village. And of course, they have the synagogue, and I'm going to show you a photo of me inside the synagogue that they created for Nazareth. And I'm holding the scroll right there in the little pulpit they have. But Jesus went to Nazareth, and they gave him a scroll to read. And it was the scroll of Isaiah. And Luke chapter 4, verse 17, says that the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. And look what he found, verses 18 and 19 of Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. It's interesting because these two verses come from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And they're beautiful verses, how the Messiah would come for the oppressed and to set the oppressed free and to heal the brokenhearted. Those were all people that were on the margins, supposedly, of society, right? But what is interesting here is that when he sits down, it's not because he's done. They used to stand up to read and sit down to teach. So when Jesus sits down, it says that all the eyes are on him because they're waiting for a teaching from Jesus. Don't forget, he is from Nazareth. And so people want to see what he's going to tell them. And he says to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And then he starts speaking, teaching them about himself and his mission. Verse 22, and all were speaking well of him and wondering of the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? Everybody's speaking well of him because the content of his teaching is words of grace. And they're all liking this. And they're saying, hey, he finally is here. Maybe this is really the Messiah. He has come for us. But then the teaching continued. And if you continue reading, he starts talking about how God chose a widow outside of Israel from the land of Sidon. And then how there were many lepers in Israel and God chose Naaman the Syrian from the land of Syria. And that's when things got really bad. Because until then, they were speaking well of Jesus. They were speaking well of him because he was talking words of grace. But when he started to show that the scope of his grace was so much bigger than just the people of Israel, they were enraged. So let me read it to you. Verse 25. I say to you, in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months when a great famine came over the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And they were like, what? To Sidon? And then he said the same thing about a leper named Naaman from Syria. And that's when the Bible says they got so enraged that they tried to throw him from the cliff. And there's a big cliff there in Nazareth. And it didn't matter that they were in a church service. It was like, no, it's us versus them. And they should not get this favor of God to be accepted this way. Of course, Jesus was introducing to them the scope of his grace. And they were enraged. He was a God too big for their small minds. Today, God reminds you that he does have this in mind, that his kingdom accepts all tribes and people and nations and colors, that you personally are accepted. Perhaps other people have not accepted you. Perhaps you have been marginalized. Jesus came to tear down those walls. Salvation is for all who will accept it, and that includes you. He came to save all. Every kindred, every color, everyone. So if you have lived with the pain of not being accepted because of who you are, may you know today that God accepts you. You are accepted to the point that he saved everyone who will accept him.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for those inspiring words.
Well, friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning. And if you would like to learn more about us or want to share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning. We'll have an inspiring Grace Point segment, a vegetable stir fry recipe, and the Masterstroke will be back as we take a deeper look at the conversion of Paul. It Is Written's Pastor John Bradshaw will also join us to share a devotional. You are sure to be blessed, so don't miss it.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about what the Bible teaches about God's amazing plan for your life, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study for your free Bible study guides. Check out the website. We're sure you'll find something there just for you.
And before we go, we want to leave you with today's Bible promise. And it says,
the Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
Friends, that's the beauty of the gospel message, the beauty of salvation. Jesus promises to restore us and lift us up. You know, he blesses us as we follow him. So when you follow him today, let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, we turn to you and we see the cross and we realize that you indeed are trustworthy. You have shown us a love that surpasses any kind of love that we could ever even imagine. So, Lord, we turn to you today. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.